NPE Radio will help you get your Z's. Welcome to NPE Radio.
You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey guys, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of NPE Radio. Today is a follow-up to the episode that we did on biohacking for better sleep, for insomnia. Today we're going to cover hardcore insomnia, like hardcore gangsta rap. Anyway, we're going to cover hardcore insomnia and what to do when your sleep is heavily impaired and you're getting very little amount of sleep and it's frustrating you, because there are certain ways you can biohack that. So before we begin, you can find me at www.naturopathicearth.com, NaturopathicEarth.com, or you can just Google A. Gregory Luna or Confessions of an Obese Child or NPE Radio. You can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth, where I just posted something not too long ago on kombucha. I was at the supermarket and I videotaped some comparisons of kombucha. And you can follow me at Twitter and Facebook at naturopathearth. And of course, I'm A. Gregory Luna on Facebook. All right, so today we're going to cover insomnia. Now, insomnia is tried and true to my heart. And before you listen to this one, I highly recommend that you listen to my original Naturopathic Radio episode on insomnia. And I believe that was probably around number 9. Yeah, I think it was NPE Radio 9. So listen to that one first, because that one's a great primer. We are going to review some of that stuff in this podcast. But that's a great primer for that. I mentioned in that podcast that the majority of Americans are not getting enough sleep. And we're supposed to be getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And this is crucial. It's crucial for the strengthening of our immune system and preventing and stymieing. I like the word stymie. The stymie cancer and cardiovascular maladies and an early death and depression and all these things. But more often than not, we're choosing to do other things in lieu of sleeping. And, you know, there's only one other thing that you should be replacing for sleeping. And you know what that is. But anyway, just because my students are listening, I'm talking about praying, of course. But lots of times we're on social media, we're watching TV, we're hanging out, and all these things are important, but you got to find time in your schedule to do it. Like, I'll tell my students, I'll ask some of them, like, how much sleep did you get last night? 4 hours. I'm like, why is that? Because you teachers give us too much homework and I got to stay up till 2 a.m. I'm like, okay, right, okay. Either A, you're not allocating your time properly in the evening, or you're just lying, one of the two. So I wouldn't put it past them for either. Some of my students are hardworking. They have jobs and they're in sports, so they don't get home till late. And then they do get swamped with a lot of work. I'm an elective class. I opt not to give a lot of homework for take home. I believe that's more for English, math, social studies, and the sciences. But that's what you hear a lot of. But either way, we are not getting enough sleep, and this is a problem. Now, many of you can fall asleep on a dime. I mean, you can be like my dad before he died and just, you know, you're talking to him and 2 seconds later, he's asleep. And a lot of you can just go to the pillow and fall asleep. Like, I know Kate told me she sleeps with no problem. I mean, she's got the newborn, but she sleeps with no problem. I mean, she can just hit the pillow, boom, she's out. I am not like that. I have an overactive mind. People, and I'm not saying this like arrogantly, oh, I have an overactive mind, you know. No, I just have a racing mind. Like, I'm like Woody Allen. If you ever seen any of the Woody Allen movies, I'm like the neurotic Jew, but not, I'm not Jewish. I'm probably a little neurotic, But I have racing thoughts through my head. It's very hard for me to turn off my head. And then just so that in itself lends to insomnia because it's hard to wind down the brain. The other reason is I have had serious bouts of insomnia in my life. In fact, twice in my life within the last 3 years, I went through a period where I was getting 30 minutes of sleep to 2 hours of sleep a night for weeks. For weeks. This is hell. I'm not saying it's like living in war-torn South Sudan hell, because that's a different type of hell, but it is hell, because when you are not getting sleep, your body can kind of manage or function for a day or two, even if you only get an hour or two of sleep. But eventually, you literally, if you go weeks of getting 2 hours of sleep or less, or even up to 3 hours of sleep, you start hallucinating. You start seeing things. Of course, you start losing your motor skills. Your cognition declines. And you can go crazy. And there's many cases of people who take their lives because they have insomnia and they've lost the ability to know how to sleep. So I've had that in two occasions. Most recently, over about a year ago, I had that episode where one night I could not sleep the entire night because of just things that were going on in my life. And it took me months to get back to going maybe 4 to 5 hours of sleep. And now even now I still have insomnia. Like last night I woke up, went to bed. I tried to wind down around 10. I woke up, I probably got to sleep by 11, and I woke up at 3 and I couldn't go back to sleep. But this podcast is going to be about biohacking your sleep. So let's just review some things. First of all, in the event that you have not listened to the previous podcast, one of the most important things you can do is engage in good sleep hygiene. This is like good oral hygiene for brushing your teeth. So sleep hygiene, just really quickly, is getting your body in sync with the circadian rhythm. So right when you wake up, boom, open those windows. Get that sunlight into your retina so the brain's like, oh, damn, it's bright time. And then boom, and like adjust the thermostat. And the more you're in the sunlight, or the more you're outside, it calibrates your pineal gland in your brain, which makes melatonin, to kind of go in sync with the day. And when it starts getting dark, and right now I'm recording this in the summer, of course, you know, it gets later, the sun gets later. Now, when I used to live in Alaska in the summer, I lived in Fairbanks, which is about 100 miles from the Arctic Circle. And the Arctic Circle is the line where on the solstice days, winter or summer, you either aren't going to get any sunlight, or you're going to have all sunlight, like so the summer solstice, or in winter solstice, you'll get no sunlight. So in the summer where I lived, literally it'd be like twilight-ish from like 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. and then boom, the sun's back up. And that's why in Alaska, it's crazy. People mow their lawns in the middle of the night. People are out and about because you're all wired. And then when the winter comes, it's the opposite. It's almost all dark and you'll get like some twilighty light from like 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., depending on where you are in Alaska or anywhere near the Arctic Circle. So that in itself is kind of cuckoo. It's kind of cuckoo. But the point is, when it gets dark at night, that's when you got to turn off all the lights or definitely take off the fluorescent lights or the CFC lights for, among other reasons, they're pretty toxic. But you need to start shutting down the lights, dimming it so the body is like, okay, I realize now. You know, Gregory's trying to tell me it's sleep time. And so you start slowly releasing the pineal or the melatonin from the pineal gland, and then you get sleepy. The problem is now we're looking at so much blue light, which is emanating from our screens, that it's throwing it off. So the blue light's essentially telling our mind that it's still daylight. And so are all the lights that we have everywhere. And it throws it off. And so you're not getting sleepy. You're not getting sleepy. So one of the things is definitely get your circadian rhythm in tune. Another thing is make your room very, very cold and dark, ideally 65 degrees. Get some blackout curtains. That helps. Those are other great cues. Get some noise reduction. So I like to have two fans on, though sometimes it doesn't even help me. I even use earplugs, but sometimes that doesn't help me either. Some people like noise reduction machines, you know, the ones that do the waves. Drink some chamomile or sleepy tea, take a little hot bath, take a small walk. Try to refrain from using blue screens or screens with blue light unless you have some glasses on. Or have one of those blockers on your phone. But in general, I mean, the more you're on your phone, it increases cortisol. Cortisol counteracts melatonin. So in the morning, for example, we have a lot of cortisol. And then it tapers out throughout the day. Whereas melatonin, of course, is going to be very slow in the beginning of the day and then goes up closer to nighttime. Okay. One of the things is just use your bedroom for sleep and sex. So you shouldn't be doing work in there. You shouldn't be doing anything else in there. It needs to be, your brain needs to kind of register it as a room for sleep. And this is going to go to something that we're going to talk about in a second. All right. So one of the other things you can do, so that's the main one. So engage in good sleep hygiene. So that's the first thing here. But let's say you have horrible insomnia. Let's say you only get 1 to 3 hours of sleep. And in my experience, the worst is not falling asleep and then waking up at 1 or 2 and then not being able to go back to sleep. Because at least you can tell yourself, okay, I got 3 hours of sleep. Even though I know that sounds like crap, and most of you guys are like, I can't function. Believe me, when you're having horrible insomnia and you wake up, you're like, okay, wait, I got 3 hours of sleep before I was, I mean, I know it sounds like nothing, but it's like when you're starving, right? It's like, well, at least I got to eat some maggoted, you know, rice. It's something. The worst, I think, is trying to go to sleep and then you're not sleeping and you're just looking at the clock. You're just up in your bed, tossing and turning, and you look at the clock, which you shouldn't be. And that's one of the other things is don't have alarm clocks. Don't be looking at the time. Don't ever look at your phone in the middle of the night so you know what time it is. And it's 1 a.m., then 2 a.m., then you start panicking. And we call this catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is a term that's used where you start having catastrophic thoughts in your mind about what this lack of sleep or what this insomnia is going to do to you. So, for example, let's say you're in one of those nights where you are not sleeping. Okay, you went to bed, you're not sleeping, it's 3 a.m. Then you start having these thoughts in your head. You're like, I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. I'm going to have to admit myself to the psych ward if I don't sleep tonight. I'm going to die if I don't sleep. I can't function. Oh my God. Like I'm going to get in a car accident and kill all my kids tomorrow. And then you just start having these horrible, horrible racing thoughts about everything. And it will, of course, serve as a stress causer, and it keeps you up even more. The catastrophizing does too. So it just is this horrible cycle of insomnia, because catastrophizing will freak you out and stress you out even more. So a couple of things you can do is engage in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, CBTI. Some of you might know CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy in general. That's the typical paradigm that's used by therapists with people who are going in for mental health disorders like depression. So kind of the belief behind CBT, and by no means am I a psychologist, is that you kind of have to, like Yoda said, you have to unlearn what you have learned. So you have to kind of change the thought process that's going through your head. And instead of having negative responses to it, you kind of have to have positive responses to it. So instead of catastrophizing when it's 3 a.m. and you haven't slept and you're panicking and you're freaking out, you start saying, it's okay. It's okay if I don't get a full night's sleep tonight. I might be a little groggy the next day, but that's okay. I won't need to be admitted to the psych ward. I won't die. I know that this is a phase, and my sleep will eventually return. The point is, fearing your lack of sleep is not going to enhance your chances of sleeping well. So it's just going to, as I said, it's going to freak you out anymore. And you need to realize your sleep will return. Now, at the beginning, it might not return to 7 to 9 hours of sleep, which is recommended, but it will increase to 3 to 4 and eventually maybe go back to normal, hopefully. So it's really important in the middle of the night when you're having these racing thoughts and you're catastrophizing that you're not panicking. Do not panic. Just go, I know in a year from now. Like this is what a lot of people will tell you when something bad happens, like in a year from now. Like when you're stressing and you're running late to a meeting, you say in a year from now, you're not even going to remember this. So don't be driving 100 miles an hour trying to get to a meeting. It's not that important. You're not going to remember this. Just calm down. So like the 3 years ago when I had the big insomnia spell where I was getting 30 minutes to an hour, and then even a year ago, I would try to remember that. I would try, and even, you know, in the intervening months since the last big insomnia episode I had a year ago, I try to use that, you know, because catastrophizing is normal. But you try to be like, I know this is just a phase. I'm going to sleep. The body needs sleep. You're going to do it. And, you know, and you don't want to think about how sleep reduction or not allowing people to sleep as a form of torture that people do. You don't want to be thinking about that. You just want good positive thoughts. So you can go online and find a lot of CBTI or cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia worksheets or programs that go step by step, and you work with a therapist on this. you can definitely find them on my article on the four ways to resolve crippling insomnia, the one I'm gleaning from. I do have a couple of links to the CBTI articles. I'm sorry, CBTI manuals that I used, but you can find them. You can definitely go see a CBTI therapist. There are some therapists in large towns that are that specialize in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So that's definitely something you could do. All right. Another thing you can do, step three, is going to be sleep restriction. Now, sleep restriction is a term that's somewhat counterintuitive. Sleep restriction therapy attempts to limit the time spent in bed to actual sleeping time, as well as increase sleep efficiency by extending sleep time. There's a lot of sleep words in that. So essentially what this means is limiting the time spent in bed creates a mild sleep deprivation, which promotes you to actually fall asleep sooner. To see the efficacy of sleep restriction, let's look at a typical insomniac's night. Okay, this is the typical thing that we all do. Not all, but a lot of people. You go to sleep at 10, right? 10 o'clock is like the standard time, right? Even if you're not sleepy, you're like, well, it's 10, I guess I gotta go to bed. You're not sleepy. So then you get in your bed, and then you toss and turn. You're wondering why you're not falling asleep. You might be watching Fallon or something like that. You're not falling asleep. This increases your anxiety, thus mitigating or lessening sleep achievement. And then you look at the alarm clock or phone every hour, which increases your anxiety. This is why, again, a lot of those alarm clocks emit blue light. But just put the alarm underneath your bed, even if you're using it. Most people use phones, but don't be looking at the phones. Definitely don't be social media or texting in the middle of the night. And then catastrophizing and panic fixation kicks in and you don't sleep at all. So that's the typical thing. So the belief behind sleep restriction is different. And this idea is kind of commonsensical. The belief is simple. Don't go to your room until you're drowsy. Don't go to your room until you're drowsy. All right? So, I mean, what's the point of going to your room? I mean, remember, your room is a sleep sanctuary, so you should only be there for sleep and sex. So when you go in there when you're not sleepy and then you can't fall asleep, you start associating the bedroom with anxiety. Like when you walk in, like if it's kind of almost like PTSD. If you ever go back to a place where you saw a crime or a car accident or some horrible traumatic fight with your spouse or something like that, and every time you go in there, it reminds you of that. It's similar to this. So you start associating the bedroom with frustration and anxiety. So the belief is, just go clean the kitchen, you know, whatever. And then when you get sleepy, it could be at 11. It could be 11:30. Now, again, this is counterintuitive to insomniacs, to someone like me, because you're like, 11:30? Well, that only gives you till 6 o'clock to sleep. And, I mean, you're already cutting into your sleep time. And then, but it makes sense. If you're not drowsy, don't be going to sleep. Don't go to your bedroom, because you're just going to go into the cycle that I mentioned. So if it's 9 o'clock, go to sleep at 9. If it's midnight, then go to sleep at midnight. Going to the bed when you're not sleepy is counterintuitive and thus increases your chances that the insomnia will occur. You got to kind of pay attention to your circadian rhythm. And before I forget, we are multiphasic in our sleeping. And this goes back to evolutionary times. It's very rare, if not impossible. No one sleeps straight from, let's say, 10 to 7 a.m. We have cycles. Some of you know your REM sleep and stage one, stage two. And we wake up periodically throughout the night and then we go to sleep. And I'm not talking about you wake up in the middle of the night to go take a piss. I mean, you literally wake up and then you go back to sleep. And in the Middle Ages, before the advent of lighting and the Industrial Revolution, it was common, like in the Middle Ages, for example, and in ancient times even, to wake up. They would go to bed when it got dark because they only had candles, and they're like, well, it's dark. We can't, like, work the fields. So you'd go to sleep, you know, whatever, 9. Then you'd wake up, like, at 1 or 2. Then you would literally go and have a meal, hang out with people, like the quintessential eating chocolate cake in the middle of the night, right, on the kitchen table with your milk. And chocolate cake. You don't see those commercials anymore. When I was a kid, that was like the thing in all movies, right? You wake up and you have chocolate cake at 2 a.m. So then you wake up and then you eat or you just hang out and then read or something. And then you go back to sleep at 3-ish. And then you wake up at 8. You know, that's how they used to do it. You'd have two, I guess it'd be more like biphasic, but you would have two sections of sleep. So don't get frustrated when you're waking up in the middle of the night. Even if you don't notice that you are waking up in the middle of the night, you're just going right back to sleep. So you think you're sleeping through the entire night. So this is what I want to tell you. This is essentially the best way to review sleep restriction. And this is what you need to do if you're having horrible insomnia. And I try to implement this as much as possible when I'm having the insomnia. So go to your dark, cold, slightly noisy room only when you're drowsy. whatever time that is, if you can't fall asleep within 30 minutes, and you kind of know, I don't want you looking at your watch or timing it or put a timer because a timer will wake you up, but you kind of know, then engage in some relaxing activity like reading fiction, listening to music, listen to a podcast. Like I like to put boring NPR because NPR is boring. Watching relaxing TV at a low volume. You know, TV does release blue light, but it's typically at a far enough distance where it's not getting to your retina and it's not affecting your melatonin production. If you're worried about that, invest in blue light blocking glasses. I have shown on my Instagram account different videos where I wear it. You could typically actually wear sunglasses and they pretty much do the exact same thing. But here's the key. So if you are not asleep in 30 minutes, you got to get out of the bedroom. You got to get out of the bedroom because if not, you start connecting the room to anxiety and frustration. So this period is an excellent time to engage in relaxation techniques or deep breathing exercises. That's something else you can do. So let's say you get sleepy. Excuse me. You get sleepy, 10:30, you go to bed, you're not asleep by 11. Get out of your bed. Get out of the bed. And I know it's counterintuitive because you're like, but you know, I might fall asleep in the next minute or I might fall asleep in the next 10 minutes. And if I get out of bed, it won't work. And this is something that I struggle with too. But trust me, this is what sleep restriction and this is what the CBTI manuals will tell you. So get out of bed, go to another room. And as I mentioned, put on, you know, light a candle. Maybe that could be dangerous, but like low lamp, wattage, read. Maybe watch some TV, read fiction. I say fiction because it's just a little like summer lit, you know, like chick lit, something like relaxing, nothing that's too heavy that's going to get you all depressed. Same for TV. If you're going to watch TV, watch something very lighthearted. Preferably something now with like a laugh track in the back, just something that's like Mad Men. You know, Mad Men make you fall asleep really quickly. Or do some deep breathing, some yoga. And then after 30 minutes, if you can't go back to sleep where you're at, then go back to the room. Try to fall asleep within 30 minutes. If you can't, leave the room and repeat the same activities. And then it's rinse, lather, repeat. And you keep doing that. You keep doing that. Now, though much of sleep hygiene and sleep restriction seems counterintuitive, it is in fact effective. If you talk to any CBTI therapist, you can kind of keep a rough estimate of which times you get drowsy, sleep, and wake up, and you'll notice a pattern. And try to adhere to that pattern as much as possible. So you'll notice like you wake up every day at 7 or, you know, you're getting sleepy at 11. You can kind of keep track of it. There are apps that you can get where, actually, I think the typical iPhone now has this standard. If you look under the clock setting, the alarm clock, the stopwatch, it has that. But you can get apps that keep track of your sleeping. I don't know how it does it, but you set it because I remember having this at the beginning of my insomnia and then I got rid of it. But you turn it on and then you put it on your bed table. And I guess you can't move it or shake it, but somehow it knows when you're asleep. I don't know how that works, but I don't use that. But you can kind of see what your sleeping patterns are. Now, typically in the summer, we do sleep less, which is normal. There's less light or there's more light. So we do sleep less. So don't be panicking if you notice that you're getting less sleep during the summer months than you do than in the winter months. And as I mentioned, always look on the bright side. Instead of seeing 4 hours as bad, see it as better than getting only 2 hours. And that you're working towards 6 to 7 hours. Again, this is all about positive thinking in your brain. And try not to label nights as good or bad. Because again, it's like labeling foods as good or bad. Don't be like beating yourself down the next morning when you didn't sleep well. Because there's not much you can do. Some people like to use ASMR. If you're familiar with ASMRs, that's like the music. It's not even music. It's like sounds of like crumpling paper or drops of water or snoring. And some people play that on their phone at very low levels and that relaxes them. You know, by all means, try it. If that works for you, that's great. I know Kay told me that she listens to Harry Potter on audiobooks. And since she knows the story and she listens to it over and over, that helps her go to sleep because your brain's not really active. I try not to listen to a lot of my comedian podcasts or anything that's like really informative because then I notice that my brain's actually trying to pay attention and listen. And you want something like, I don't use ASMR. I find it creepy where it's like, there's something where people are whispering. I'm like, no, it freaks me out. It's like there's ghosts in the room. So I try podcasts. So it's a tough balance because you got to find one that's really relaxing where you're not really engaging your brain, but you're kind of passively listening to it very lightly. But if you put in this too stimulant, you're actually going to want to stay up and be like, hey, this is a good podcast and I want to listen to it. So just know that.
true chronic insomnia is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. But before opting for the prescription medications or the over-the-counter drugs, which I've talked about, which have their own problems, I talked about in the previous podcast, just try to use these aforementioned biohacks. Try to use it. And then if you are currently taking Lunesta and Soma, Ambien, please read the inserts and look at the adverse effects and then talk to a doctor about future usage. I'm not telling you at all to get off of them because I'm not a medical professional. I'm not giving you advice on that matters. And they all have a certain withdrawal sequence to it. So you need to be careful. But just talk to a doctor about it. Read the inserts because a lot of them have really nasty side effects. So I'm finishing up this podcast. Last thing I mentioned is just personal experience, guys. If any of you have insomnia, just contact me, let me know, and just share your story because it's frustrating. Like last night, and I think this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this pod now because of what happened last night. It's like, and a lot of you don't have overactive minds, and God bless you. And I'm not saying it again like smoking a pipe. Like, a lot of you don't have overactive minds. No, it's nothing like that. I wish I knew a way to turn off my mind. And I've tried deep breathing, like feel that your leg. Feel the muscles in your leg. Your leg is going to sleep. I tried those and I can't get those to work. But what happens is like, let's say I wake up, like last night I woke up at probably around 3. Couldn't go to sleep, so I went to the couch. Now I'm at the couch. And then see, this is something too that's so stultifying. It's so paralyzing is that when you have really bad insomnia, it totally messes with you. So like you don't go out late anymore. You want to come back early because you're worried that if you don't stick to the routine, you're not going to get sleep that night. So for example, I used to go out late. Now I'm petrified if I'm not in bed by 10 and initiating the sleep protocol. And I got to have the pillows a certain way. I got to have my fan blowing out a certain way. I got to have my earbuds. I got to have my lavender essential oil diffuser going. I have to have the pillows. And then when I go down, because see, this is the thing about bad insomnia is you literally forget how to fall asleep and you're petrified. Every night you go to sleep scared to death. So now I lie down and hold on, I'm going to hit the cough button. I'm going to cough here. Hold on. You didn't even hear that. I lie down and I put my arms and then I notice, and this happens right when I'm going to sleep, but also when I wake up and I move to the couch or somewhere else to try to sleep or listen to a podcast. It's like you think that your arms have to be in a perfect place. Like your head's got to be in a perfect place. Your body, you got to have a pillow between your legs. Your arms got to be perfect. If you start hearing your heartbeat when you're sleeping on your side, that freaks you out. And then you start thinking, Should I move to the couch? If I move to the couch, I might have a better chance to go to sleep. Or in 6 minutes from now, if I stay here, I might go to sleep. What do I do? See, and again, that's the anxiety. So then when you move to the new place and you're like, you're settling in, it's the same thing. You're trying to get your arms and your legs in position. Should my legs touch? Should my legs not touch? Which is going to guarantee me the best chance to sleep? And then you start thinking, if I would have stayed in the previous room, I'd be asleep by now, maybe. And now I'm not falling asleep here. Oh no, I'm not falling asleep. And then you put on your relaxing music or you turn on the light to read. And then you're like, well, maybe if I didn't turn on the light to read or put on my podcast or relaxing music, I'd be asleep even on this couch. And this is the snowball effect, guys, that happens when you have really bad insomnia. If you guys cannot relate at all to what I'm talking about, God bless you. God bless you. I wish this nut on you. If you guys can relate to this, then you know what I'm talking about. And it's just frustrating. It is so frustrating. And this is not even to mention all the external factors that could wake you up at night. Let's say your fire alarm goes off, your kids wake you up, mommy, I need water, stuff like that. You have a baby. This is just like being alone and you have these problems. So it's extremely frustrating. So I want you to share your comments. If any of you have this type of insomnia, let me know about it. Email me about it and we can talk about it. If some of you really have bad insomnia, definitely reach out to me and I can try to help you with it or try to get help because a lot of people have this. As I mentioned, something like 70% of Americans are not getting at least 7 hours of sleep. And some of them are choosing to do other things, but then can fall asleep. They might not get the best sleep, but a lot of people want to sleep. They want to sleep. I want to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. I want to sleep, but I can't. And it's horrible sometimes. And it's just, it's horrible. So that's all I really have to say today, guys. That's all I have to say. Until next time, take care, reach out, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.